This afternoon, I'm speaking with Mr. Alfred Dyson, who was born in Massachusetts?
Yes.
In Westport?
I was born in Swansea, Mass.
In Swansea.
Somerset, Mass, right?
Somerset, yes. Mass. And who has done many, many things and associated with many interesting things, especially with labor unions. I'm Mary Giles, and I want to ask him a great many questions about his career. How long ago were you born in Somerset, or don't you want to tell your age?
Yes, I was born in Somerset in 1912. July the 28th.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go to? How long did you stay in Somerset?
I stayed in Somerset until I started to go to school, and I moved to Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school and graduated from the Swansea Public School.
Mm-hmm.
And I then moved to Fall River and went to Herrick's Institute. I went 1 year to Durfee Technical High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then I attended night classes in Herrick's Institute and mm-hmm. the MC Durfee Night School.
Yes.
And then after I got married and grew up, I moved to Westport. So I've been to all the towns.
Yes. When did you come to Westport?
I come to Westport in about 1944.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived here ever since.
Mm-hmm. So, you have a family, I know, because I hear you were picking up the children before you came
well,
here.
Yeah, well, I have three children. I'm married and I have three children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now I have five grandchildren.
Grandchildren, so it was grandchildren five, you were picking up.
I have five grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. When you first came to Westport, what did you do?
I was working as a business agent for the Textile Workers Union.
As a business agent. And then these unions here in, these textile mills here in Westport and Fall River, were they organized as labor unions?
Yes.
Were they?
All of the textile mills in Fall River were organized by the Textile Workers Union. At one time, we had 12,000 members.
Mm-hmm. And there were textile mills here in Westport.
Yes.
Did you? Were they organized?
They were not in business when I grew up.
When you grew up,
yeah.
When you came here, they were out of business. They'd stopped.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that you didn't organize the mills here. They were just never organized, I gather.
I started as a weaver, started as a drop wire boy in the Berkshire Mill on Quarry Street, Plant C. Mm-hmm. I then went to the Arkwright, finished in the Arkwright cotton mill, and started picking up bobbins there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned to weave on box looms, the old type box looms that make Marguerite curtains, which the women don't use any longer.
No.
And I became a weaver there. And so
that's fascinating. I wish you could tell us something. We have no weaver in any of the tapes. So I wish you could stop. We could stop back and pause here just a moment to tell a little bit about your weaving.
Well, a weaver, of course, runs looms.
I know. I've done some weaving.
Right. And but this it's particular been type of goods that I was working on were called Marguerite curtains.
Mm-hmm.
They were curtains that had four shuttles on, anywhere from one to four shuttles.
They had little bumps, didn't they? They have little bumps in them?
Yeah, they would run back and forth
uh-huh.
across the loom.
Oh, yes, and they were...
And they would make a pattern for a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they were wove on the loom, they'd bring them down to the cloth room and run them on a shearing machine, which cut off all of the excess cotton that was in between where the pattern was.
Oh.
So you'd have a pattern that could be a Paul Parrot.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a ship, it could be most anything.
Mm-hmm.
But as a weaver, you had to know how to operate these looms so that when the loom broke or the threads broke and stopped,
mm-hmm.
you had to make sure you started up in the right place so that you wouldn't have a half a Paul Parrot or half a ship.
Yes.
And you had to be very careful.
And it really was quite a complicated operation.
It wasn't. It wasn't complicated for me because I learned on it.
Mm-hmm.
But many weavers who ran just plain cloth, you know, would run one shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
There was no pattern with it, so mm-hmm. it didn't make much difference to them.
No.
But I grew up and learned on that type of loom, so for me it wasn't hard.
You learned that in Fall River?
Yes, in the Arkwright finishing plant.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying Arkwright finishing. Arkwright cotton plant.
Arkwright.
That's located on the old Chase Mill on on Rodman Street today.
Mm-hmm.
No longer in business.
No. No. Most of those mills are all potato chip factories or something now, aren't they?
Well, I keep saying Arkwright Finishing because we organize the Arkwright Finishing, which is in the rear of the Arkwright Cotton Mill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the less still operating as a finishing plant.
Mm-hmm. 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 How long did you, were you a weaver?
Well, I was a weaver in the mill until from 19, I started in the mill about 1932.
Mm-hmm.
Drop bar boy, that's about.
Tell them about that. What is
drop bar boy is a boy who puts wires on the back, on each thread on the back of the harness of a loom. And that's used so that when that thread breaks, that wire drops down and stops the loom automatically.
That isn't like a heddle or anything.
No. That's a heddle is on the harness of a loom.
Yes.
Now this is in the back. You put a wire on each thread,
mm-hmm.
and then when that thread breaks, the loom stops,
mm-hmm.
and you have to find which one it is and start the loom up.
Start the loom up again.
So then when I went to the another mill in the Arkwright and learned, well, I was picking up bobbins, I learned to weave,
mm-hmm.
and consequently asked the boss for a job and got a job weaving.
Mm-hmm. What size bobbin did you use? How big were they, in inches, maybe?
The bobbin itself was about an 8-inch bobbin.
Mm-hmm.
The shuttle, of course, was quite large.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 14 inches.
Mm-hmm. I have some shuttles here, and I just wondered what they... I got them in an antique shop. People use them to put plants and things in now.
Right,
you know, they're kind of decorative accessories. But I wondered whether you use shuttles that size.
Well, in one time, in addition to making Margaret curtains, during the war, we made a mosquito netting.
Oh, you did?
Which is very simple.
Yes, yeah, very simple.
The boys over in the area where they had the mosquitoes, where they had to use them to keep overnight.
Where'd you get your cotton?
The cotton came in from the southern, from the south, and was brought in.
It was brought in raw cotton.
Went into the picker room where they broke the cotton up. And then went into the card room where they put it into fibers.
They carded it.
And went from there to the spinning room.
Uh-huh.
And then they made either filling out of it or thread for warps.
Yes.
And then, of course, the warps were made in the slasher room, and then consequently came down the woods.
Yes.
And also for
a
while...
It's a very... People don't realize what a complicated process
it is.
Yes,
very complicated.
These... I'll tell you about them later, but there's some... weaving I did about 45 years ago here in this room, which is falling to pieces, and I don't dare wash it because it would come to pieces if I did.
Right.
But I had 3 or 4 looms at one time and did a lot of experimental weaving with it. Now it wasn't in the factory. Where did you come from to Somerset?
Well, I was born in Somerset.
You were born, but before then, did you come from Europe, or did your family come from...
Well, my mother was born in Blackpool, England.
In England, that's what
and
I
my
wanted.
My father, his parents came originally from England, but he was born in the United States.
Uh-huh.
And I had a grandmother...
Where is Blackpool? I've been in England, but somehow or other I don't know where Blackpool is.
Well, I've never been there either. I couldn't find it, but it's along the coast somewhere.
It's along the coast.
Yeah, towards Scotland, I believe.
Up north near Scotland.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of weaving up there.
He was a weaver. My mother was a weaver.
Your mother and father were both weavers.
Mm-hmm. He worked in the old, and she did, in the old ironworks mill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's when they used to walk from the Flint section of Fall River down to the ironworks mill and all kinds of weather and walk back,
I'd like to know a little bit more about that. Can you elaborate on that in any way? In cold weather and awful weather, they...
there was no transportation.
No transportation.
And we lived up what we call the Flint, which is the east end of the city.
Is that where the Flint Fish Market is?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived up there, and my mother and dad would walk to work from there to the ironworks, which was down... at the waterfront in Fall River where these ships are now.
Mm-hmm. Down in the Battleship Cove
And they worked 12 hours a day and walked back. So they worked from 6 to 6. $2 would take you all week. Now $2 won't even get you in the store.
But, a loaf of bread, if you, get a good one, 75 or 80
That's
cents.
Right. I can remember distinctly. Get 2 boxes of groceries for $2.
Mm.
And every Friday we'd get them and last for the week.
Uh-huh. That's amazing. Did you have lunches? Did you take your lunch to school?
Took our lunch to school, took our lunch to work.
What kinds of things maybe would you put in your lunch? Do you remember? What would be in your lunch?
Well, when I worked in the plant, we were able to buy a little bottle of milk at the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you take bologna sandwiches, sometimes a little tuna fish.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd bring that into the...
This is about what you would today.
Yeah, right, yes. Mm-hmm. But it was much cheaper.
Much cheaper.
The only problem in those days was when they first started working the mill, you couldn't leave your lunch. And you had to hang it up in the middle of the room somewhere, because if you left it in a box or on the windowsill, it was full of cockroaches by the time you had your dinner.
Oh, dear.
They were infested with cockroaches.
The school.
But later on, in the mills, they did hire...
Oh, the mills were full.
I'm talking about the mills. Yeah, they did hire people and they exterminated. But you'd think nothing of, take your clothes off the wall, because you had a nail on the wall and the dampness, from the sweat or the heat in the mill. And if you didn't shake your clothes out, you'd go home with cockroaches. Huh?
Mm.
So the conditions weren't good.
No. No, not a bit. Dreadful. Well, now, living in Westport's quite a different story, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Yeah. Well, I went from Swansea to Fall River, and I went to Durfee High. My last year of school in Swansea, the last year we lived in Swansea, I had graduated from Swansea the year before, and took the trolley car into Fall River to start going to school at Durfee.
Mm-hmm.
And I went 1 year, and see, I'd graduated at 13.
Yeah.
At 12, right, really.
Yeah.
Graduated from school at 12, and in July I become 13, so I worked the year, and then went to work to help support the family.
Mm-hmm.
So I only had 1 year of high school, but then I went to the evening class, then I went to Herrick's Institute, gain some knowledge there.
Yes. Now you're retired?
Well, no, I'm still working. I work for the state. I'm on the State Board of Arbitration and Conciliation. I'm a labor member of the board appointed by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Boston twice a week and hear 3 or 4 arbitration cases, and sometimes 3 times a week. And the rest of the week we write the cases up. We have to make a decision, then we write them up and give the parties the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing now.
So you're really working for the state of Massachusetts?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I did, when I was in the mill as a weaver, I became interested in the union. I became first a steward in the weave room, and then became later the president of the local union, which at that time went as high as 12,000 members. We had one local, and I was the president.
This is a textile workers union.
Mm-hmm. So around 1942 or 43, the union was growing fast, and one of the business agents took sick.
Mm.
So they asked me to take his place while he was out sick.
Yes.
Now, by the time he came back, we had grown so much that they put me on as a business agent. So I worked as a business agent from 1944 up through 1966 as a business agent, working full-time. And in those days, even the union representative worked 6 days a week, and every night except Wednesday, and then we had our meetings on Sunday.
How bad.
and of course, I'd moved to Westport around 1942, and traveled on the bus, the trolley car first, then the bus. I'd go to work in the morning, come back at 5 at night.
Tell me about the trolley car.
Trolley cars?
Mm-hmm, which you traveled on.
Well, they were real, they were real interested. They, they had it right in the middle of the highway going up Route 6.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the summertime, it was nice to have the open cars where you could enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but in those days, they were very busy.
Yes.
And then when they changed the buses, I can remember going, not so much in the morning, but going home at night at 5 o'clock, I never sat down once.
No.
Always had to stand up.
Mm-hmm. Do you know about when they changed the buses?
No, I wouldn't know.
No.
But it's quite a while back. Mm.
And where did you get the trolley car? Union at Lincoln Park? Or
along the highway,
Did it go clear into New Bedford?
Go to Lincoln Park and then right into New Bedford.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in 1966, while I was a business agency, At one time we had 4 business agents and 6 girls and all men in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was a business agent in 66, my boss, Ed Doolin, who had been the manager since the union existed, died suddenly.
Oh.
At that time we were down to 2 business agents, and I was the younger of the 2, and the executive board under our constitution had to make a choice of who was going to be the manager to take the manager's place, and I was chosen at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a manager from 1966 to 1975, and then I got appointed by the governor on this position.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very, very interesting career. This isn't a long tape, and I don't want it to run out before we're through.
Right.
But I think I've gotten, don't you think I have, should I have asked you anything else?
Well, if you had the time, if not, I'll give you this resume that, you know, I've served in, in the town, I've served as a selectman.
All right, you've been on it, you've been a selectman, and let's tape that.
I was first elected to the school committee. And I worked. I was a member of the school committee for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
And then I was defeated for office. And following that, in 1952, I was elected as a member of the school committee and served 12 years. And then I was defeated in 1963. I ran as a member of the board of selectmen and was a selectman for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
So altogether, I've had 21 years of service to the town of Westport.
Yes.
As an elected official.
Yes. That's important to know, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to that, my functions in the union caused me to be elected or appointed to many. For instance, I was appointed by the Governor Furclo, and I served as a member of the Board of Trustees and the Bradford Durfee Institute of Technology at that time. I also, I'm still presently serving as a trustee on the St. Anne's Hospital.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And I served as a, I was the president of the United Labor Council of Greater Fall River.
Mm-hmm.
I was also the secretary treasurer. And I was appointed by the president of the Textile Workers Union as a trustee to the Dyers and Princes Pension Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And, I also was a vice president of the Massachusetts State Labor Council.
So you've done a great deal of public, you've given yourself to a great deal of public service.
I like that type of work.
If you were going to change Westport in any way at all, how would you like to change it? Would you like to have it be bigger or smaller? Would you like to have it a different form of government? Do you think we're getting too big for a town?
I think now that this time has come when we have to go into the type of town meeting membership. But we're getting, we have a potential 7,200 voters.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have 150 people at the annual town meeting, this doesn't represent the town very well.
So then you're thinking we'll have to go into a representational form.
I think so, because we're getting too large now.
Well, the only Dartmouth is representational now, but with the only problem there is if the representatives don't show up. I suppose then you would vote for new representatives.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You can vote them out, because
yes.
Then you don't have any representation at all if the representatives don't go.
But at least you can get an attendance record of whether that person you voted for and change them.
Yes.
But you go to a town meeting now, and every year we start off with 400,
mm-hmm.
and then goes 2 or 3 nights, and we get down to the point where you don't even have enough for a quorum.
No.
They made a quorum a few years back, and they had to change it.
Yes.
You couldn't do any business.
Yes.
But the town is growing fast.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we're getting a lot of people coming to our town it's not bad for the town, but unfortunately they don't understand town government.
No. And so they don't go at all, they don't care, they're not related to it.
They don't go at all, and if they go, they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I was on the Board of Selectmen, many people felt that Al Dyson or anyone else who was a selectman, they're like the mayor of a town, they have complete control of everybody, and that's mm-hmm. not true.
No.
The Board of Health is a separate group, and Yes. You know, every group is separate.
Yes.
And the school committee, too.
Yes.
But they seem to feel that the Board of Selectmen can change or can control everything, and you just can't.
No.
You just can't.
No.
So we are getting, you know, we're outgrowing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the town,
And you don't want to see it get to be a great big town, do you, or
no,
do you?
No, I know, in my heart, I'm saying that I want commercialization so we can help pay our taxes because they're getting, higher and higher. But at the same time, I don't really want it to get in with the big shopping centers.
No.
Because I like the Westport.
It's a difficult problem, isn't it?
It is, yes. Draw in the big industries, the big stores, you have problems.
Oh, then we'd be an entirely different place.
That's right. You wouldn't have a place like you have here.
No.
You wouldn't have any privacy. Right?
No.
And that's one thing I can say, where I live, it's off the state highway.
Mm-hmm.
And I live on the last end of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go to bed at night, nobody goes by my house.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't lock the door, we wouldn't worry about it.
No. Well, that's it,
Yeah, sure.
Well, I just appreciate terribly your coming down to speak with me, because no one else has presented what you've presented.
Right.
And the mills have been an enormous part of our growth and development community and in this area.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.